Look at Jeff Johnson in the nick of time. Talk about that was impressive. I was watching behind the scenes. Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy Jonathan Macri with you for another episode of NBA Takedown. Coming at you a little bit later this week, as I think has been the case the last few weeks, because we react as news hits, and there has been now certainly enough news for us to react to. I am here with my good buddy Sean. Hello, Sean.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everyone.
It is Friday. I've lost all track of what days of the week and what they mean and what they don't mean. And I'm also here with Jeff Johnson, who is joining us from an undisclosed location.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's going on?
I hope it's sunny and warm wherever you are.
Oh, yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm glad I was able to tap in with you guys in time at the buzzer.
Just at the buzzer. You just made it. I'm thinking today, because there's a lot of stuff in the air, I kind of just want to work backwards and go from the stuff that is most present in the NBA stratosphere, and then we'll go back, and eventually I guess we'll get to Giannis, which seems like it was weeks ago at this point. Should we start in Boston?
Sure.
You want to start in Boston?
Why not? Their fans are more concerned over trying to discredit a championship than what's going on in their own backyard. So why don't we do that?
I need you guys, because I don't pay attention to any of this shit. Can you give me an inkling of what is being said?
Ho's mad.
Dude.
That's what it is.
I saw a tweet today that said he's coming with the Halle choke sign. And it was from a Celtics fan.
Oh, it's so pathetic.
That's cuck chair activity. That's exactly what that is.
What do you call it, Sean? Outsourcing wins?
Outsourcing wins.
Listen, you might as well chat GPT your wins. Let the AI completely take the job of you being a fan.
This is really unfortunate stuff for the very proud Boston fan base. So the latest rumor is that potentially the Celtics are looking at a sign and trade scenario. Well, they wouldn't be signing and trading. Detroit would be signing and trading Jalen Duren to Boston for Jaylen Brown. There was one other Jaylen Brown team that I saw potentially.
Atlanta
was is a potential Jaylen Brown team. And then am I imagining, Charlotte, I forget where that came from, but I feel like that's out there too. Is there any other way to read this than the Celtics have decided that Jaylen Brown should no longer be on their basketball team and they are now exploring which is the best avenue to get rid of him? Because that's kind of how I'm reading it.
I think Jaylen Brown decided that Jaylen Brown didn't want to be in the basketball team anymore. And the Celtics are like, sure. Missoula Bowl 2.0 evolves after Brad Stevens came on, sent his minions in the media to send his missive out that, like, we can't beat the New York Knicks playing this way. We have to switch it up. I think at this point, once you put Jaylen Brown's name at a potential Giannis deal, it's either you know he's going to be pissed and may want out, or you don't care that he may be pissed and want out.
I wouldn't want a pissed off Jaylen Brown on my team. I'll just throw that out there. There are certain players who it's like, if they're not like, if they don't like quote unquote, like want to be there, I think you could probably stick it out. I'm not sure if Jaylen Brown's one of those guys. Yeah. Jeff, I know we don't fear anyone because we're the defending world champions. How would your opinions change of theoretically the Knicks two prime, well, putting the Pacers aside, theoretically the two of the three biggest competitors for the Knicks in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics and the Pistons? How would your opinions of them change if they made that swap?
So, we talk a bunch of different platforms. So forgive me if I forget where I said this. Might have been in text. It might have been sent by a Raven. I don't know.
Carrier pigeon. But, yeah.
Right. So when the talk about Jaylen Brown started up, I said from jump, if I'm the Pistons, you should try to go get Jaylen Brown. He can be the secondary creator and scorer that you need. And Cade won't have to do it all. Man was in the MVP conversation last year and proved that he could carry a team. Now, whether or not that would lead to championship success is another issue, is another question all entirely. But you're looking for somebody who could, funny enough, replicate what he did in Boston.
Yeah.
And be able to play alongside another all-star, all-NBA level scorer. And I think that, to me, you trade a little bit of this grit and grind for actual skilled basketball, offensive basketball, and you get a bona fide winner. You get somebody who can give you a light 25 a game. He's shown up in the clutch before in the playoffs. Yeah. I think at this point, we're in the big swing era of parity basketball, where, especially now with the flattening of the lottery odds, you're more incentivized to go after it than you weren't before. So now you cannot stay idle if you're Detroit. Honestly, if you consider yourself either a contender or a stone's throw away from being a contender, you really cannot remain idle right now. So I think Detroit would come out as a massive winner if they could get Jaylen Brown.
Can we go even a step further? Like, who can stay idle right now? Because the notion of staying idle, sure, you might be the 10th worst team in the league and luck into the first pick because those odds are better. That's not a plan. It's not. So, like, I think that's why you see, like Utah's a good example of a team. Like, are they going to, like, they drafted a guy who's going to complete their starting five, and, like, they're probably going to try to, you know, re-sign Walker Kessler. Like, this treadmill bullshit, I think, has to end for all these teams. I'll make a controversial statement that I think might piss Sean off, which would be a cherry on top. I think Jaylen Brown for Jalen Duren both teams would win. I think that makes both teams arguably more dangerous and better. With one caveat that I'll get to in a second, but what are your thoughts?
I agree with Detroit. How does this make the Celtics better?
Because they won 56 games with Namus Keita and Luka Garza as their center last year.
And now they will be, and they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
They did.
And now they're
in part because of those, the underwhelming center play, in fairness.
And yes, speaking of underwhelming center play, now you want to trade for a player who the only reason his team did not get out of first round is because the Orlando Magic hit four shots and a half.
And I'd also argue that the reason they lost to the Sixers is because I was about to go somewhere I didn't want to go. They put up a lot of shots. They put up a lot of threes. They did not adhere to the armistice. And they just let it go. And they thought through pixie dust and the god of Abacus that they would hit more threes than the other team and win. And if they're going to continue, so much so that finally Brad Stevens came out and said, the basketball hubris must end. And Jaylen Duren, let me see you do it in the playoffs.
So here's the thing. Jalen Duren's, what was he, 22, 23, whatever he is. He's a very young player. That was his first, he had a taste last year against the Knicks. And now, so this is the second taste. So you can't be like that he's never been there before. This is his first taste. But, like, we have seen better players than Jalen Duren struggle as mightily in the early going. I'd like to introduce you both to a center on the New York Knicks who is the most popular man in New York right now. His postseason career did not exactly start off swimmingly. If you go back to some of those playing games, especially, you know, it can get better. It can improve. And I would argue Jaylen Duren going from the spacing that he had to deal with in Detroit to the spacing that he would get the benefit of in Boston would be as much a boon for him as he would be a boon for those around him. I just think it could make sense if you want to look at things that way. I'm not saying it'd be a slam dunk. My question was actually more, on the Detroit side, are they starting Paul Reed at center if they sign and trade Jaylen Duren? I mean, we all love B-ball Paul, but yeah.
I think you can. Well, there might be a center that might be available.
who wears orange and blue.
I was really hoping we could get the whole through the whole. It took us what, 11 minutes, 11 and a half minutes.
You asked for centers.
And you also said who could benefit from staying idle. You know who could benefit from staying idle? No.
talk to little Jimmy. I just did a 25-minute intro to the pod with Andrew talking about this. I'm not in a good place.
I hear you.
But listen, we're defending MHM, so it's fine. All right. You want to? Could we do LaMelo?
Yes.
Jeff, instant reaction when you saw the trade.
Adam Silver is going to be stressed next season because them post game interviews, them pre game interviews, them day off interviews. I found my league pass team for 26-27.
It's everybody's, right?
I think. My first thought was this got to be bigger than basketball. When they traded LaMelo
for who? For Charlotte. For Charlotte.
Yeah, for Charlotte. It's got to be bigger than basketball. I saw Zach Lowe mention the durability thing, which is a concern, right? Like I think about it more so that this was his first year where he really played a majority of the games, and even then he sat out a lot. But this is probably his healthiest year in a minute. The fact that the Hornets looked like they were on a massive incline and Charlotte's brass said, you know what? Yeah, maybe this is the most we could get for him at this time. Let's just do it and figure it out later. Give the keys to Khan and Miller and we get Naz Reid and we get all these picks. I think if I'm looking at it from Charlotte's perspective, they're banking on by 2029, this Timberwolves thing is going to crater. And they can be the beneficiaries of it. And if you're looking at from the Timberwolves perspective, hey, we got to make this man Anthony Edwards happy. We got to give him somebody. We got to put an all-star next to him because he's going to want out soon. The era of stars just languishing in a city for loyalty been over. Kevin, this isn't going to be Kevin Garnett part two. So you have a chance to pair him with the most dynamic point guard he's played with. He can actually rest for a change. He'll probably get some better shots because LaMelo's a virtuoso with passing. And this is an opportunity for LaMelo to prove detractors wrong and be in a more serious situation than he's been before and to show what he could do.
I have a thought on that I'll say, but I want to hear from Sean first.
So I've seen a lot about, this takes the ball out of Anthony Edwards' hands. I would push back on that. Well, it will to a certain extent, but I always felt that Anthony Edwards bring up the ball. Anthony Edwards playmaker is not the prime use of Anthony Edwards. You want Anthony Edwards. You want someone to set up Anthony Edwards. And it's been Dante DiVincenzo and Mike Conley and Ayo Dosunmu for the better part of the last 2 years. So I think LaMelo can get this kid in better positions to score. But it just comes down to, as long as LaMelo doesn't believe that he's going to be the man, and I think that Anthony Edwards will do a very good job of letting him know, like, hey, I'm the captain, always has been, always will be. I took this team for Karl Anthony Towns. You can't have it. But it depends on, like, will LaMelo – what did Isaiah Thomas say about the secret of basketball is bigger than basketball? Mm. Is he going to buy in? And I think Charlotte, you know, so for all of the advanced statistics and that four-month stretch in the regular season or what have you, does LaMelo Ball want to play winning basketball consistently when it counts? Because you can throw all the stats at me and all the numbers and all this and all of that. But when it counts, is he going to make the right play, make the right decisions? Because there's no analytics for decision-making.
No. And I think we saw it at the end of, I know they won the game, but I think we were all watching the end of the Miami playing game. And there were a couple of moments at the end of that game where you looked and you're like, there's just no way this guy's ever going to get it. But at the same time, this take might surprise you. This part won't surprise you. I think the smartest thing anybody said about the trade is what Zach Lowe said, not the part about the toughness, but the part he said earlier in the pod, which is that no one's going to beat OKC or San Antonio in the near future, like beating them at their game, so to speak. Like, you are going to need to try to do something very, very different. And by going out and trading for LaMelo Ball and pairing him with Anthony Edwards, I think the Timberwolves are trying to be, are being like, listen, let's try to completely flip this thing on its head and have an offense that if it hits, and it might hit, is like, there's not going to be anything that anybody could do, because as an individual shot creator / shot maker, LaMelo and Anthony Edwards rank, are they both in the top 10 in the league? Are they in the top 5 in the league? I mean, I don't know. They're up there, right? Like, you can't stop those guys if they're on it. And now you put them both on the same team. Yes, it comes down to the decision-making. Yes, it comes down to the toughness. All of the, yes, the defense is going to matter. And yet, I love the trade for Charlotte. And you know why I love the trade for Charlotte? Guess what LaMelo Ball, because in the NBA, you're eligible to sign an extension on the 3-year anniversary of when you signed.
Oh, boy.
He is extension eligible right now. Right this second, he's extension eligible. So guess what? So you just had this season, and it was a great feel-good season. But if you're Charlotte, you're like, where are we ever going to go if this guy is our, like, lead guy? Which now Minnesota doesn't have to worry about that, because Anthony Edwards is the lead guy. And now this takes that decision, that this takes that pressure off of their shoulders, where they don't have to be like, oh my God, LaMelo is coming to us and demanding a 2-year, $150 million extension. Now you don't have to worry about that. Now it's somebody else's problem. And now, I like Naz Reid, but, and there's the other thing that has been said by a few people, and you brought it up earlier, Jeff, in this new flattened lottery era, and we'll see how long the rules stay what they are, so that factors in too. Pick swaps are incredibly valuable, you know, because everybody has the same odds, or everybody who's in the lottery has the same odds, and even the play-in teams have pretty good odds. So I actually, similar to the theoretical Jaylen Brown, Jalen Duren thing, I like this trade for both teams. I do feel like we should pour one out for Julius Randle. I think he's going to have a great year in Brooklyn. How's that for a hot take? I think he might have... I think he's going to be happy being back in New York. There's going to be no pressure on him whatsoever.
So it's going to be the we over here season? That's what it's going to be. It's not we here, we over here.
Oh, that's amazing.
Dude, that's...
Or the we go hard, or we over here.
No, we over here.
No,
that's
we
it.
Over here.
I will say this. And I'm... Yes, on one hand, I'm pushing back on this. He has no pressure to do anything and does what he wants, because I remember a season where the Knicks were not expected to do anything, and the Julius Randle spin move into three people drove us up the wall.
You're talking about the first season?
Yes, the first season.
No, you can't. Hold on. That's revisionist history. They may not have been expected to do much. There was as much pressure on them coming off that summer as there was any team in the league, especially when fucking Steve
Mills. To do what?
When Steve Mills and Scott Perry go into your locker room before the season starts and be like, y'all are on 1-year contracts, motherfuckers. The determining factor about whether we bring you back or not is how well you play nicely together in the sandbox. And like, you guys better go make us look smart. That happened. That was a thing. Now that team's terrible.
But you know who wasn't on a 1-year contract?
Julius was on a
Julius Randle
2-year deal. Yeah,
team option, right?
Yeah.
Wait, that was the 15 power forward deal.
That was the 15 power forwards. Yes.
I'm talking about the rest of the league was not looking at the Knicks and being like, no, oh, they better, whatever. Like, just to your point,
they felt it. That's my only say. They felt some pressure. I think it's fair to say.
Okay, but there's pressure in like, I need to figure out how to get paid, and pressure in, oh, wow, people think I can't be bad. Because Elfrid Payton and Bobby Portis didn't care if they looked bad. They just wanted to make sure they scored enough points to get to the next deal, right?
This is accurate.
I think, because I don't think Brooklyn can tank again for a third year in a row. Like,
well, they don't own their pick.
Okay, well then they definitely can't tank for the 30. They definitely can't, right? Oh, right. So they're gonna have to like win games, quote unquote. And if they lose games, because of the things that Julius does that we don't like. And if Julius goes full Eeyore, as I've said, as much fun as we make of the Nets fans, and they all deserve it, what Nets fans and Knicks fans have mostly in common is that they're New Yorkers. And New Yorkers do not, if they don't like something, they will be loud about it. So I'm just not buying this like fact that Julius can put up 30 shots a game and shoot like 41% from the field and 29% from three. No. And everyone's going to be like,
no, eh. I'm not saying that. I think he'll play well. That's what I was saying, Jeff.
So who's covering it?
Oh, well, is the, like, what's like, the next like, Twitter
account? Shout out to my guy, CJ Holmes. It's going to be CJ and CJ, right? Like, they get covered like they are the Purdue Boilermakers playing in the league, right? Like, if Julius Randle has a season from hell, what type of external pressure are they going to face? Sean Marks has a forever contract.
Apparently.
He can do no wrong. That even his own fan base, it can seem split, but dude does whatever he wants and he doesn't feel any external pressure. If the Liberty weren't around, maybe they would feel a lot more pressure to get things done.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, what you're saying is correct, Sean, but the scrutiny that they would face is nothing compared to if they were wearing orange and blue in the city.
Agreed.
And now you got the Knicks. They have the ultimate residual plot armor. Because the Knicks are going into a championship year and they're taking all the oxygen out of the city in terms of coverage for the basketball team. Like, real talk, unless the Nets are surprisingly good, are they going to get covered with the level of scrutiny that would warrant them to have to make a change because they're tanking?
So here's my thing. I think there is a chance that Julius will be good, and I think that they could be surprisingly good because we know they have the coach. At the very least, they have the coach. The coach is good. If they keep Michael Porter Jr., which it seems like they're going to because he's under contract for another year, you know, and they could get, I don't know, we'll see what else they do in free agency. We'll see if this Mitch thing has any legs. I can just see, all I'm saying is I can see Julius thriving in that environment. He has thrived in worse environments. That's all I'm saying.
Two things. One, I think to your point, Jeff, there's a difference between how Julius will deal with it and how the team deals with it, right? So the Knicks winning the championship is actually Joe Tsai's worst nightmare in the sense that, like, any chance the Nets had to, like, break in and expand their fan base is gone now. Because if you, like, shout out to Bomani Jones. If you're 11 years old and you want to pick a basketball team, you're not picking the Nets, right?
Which made that championship even more important for the Knicks because they just won the new generation of New Yorkers.
Yes, they did. Speaking of orange and blue, breaking news, we have a trade.
I was about to say, shout out in the chat, Monkai. I don't know how to pronounce that. Put me onto that. You want to say the trade?
Sure. Yes. The Oklahoma City Thunder, rat bastards, are trading Isaiah Joe to the Detroit Pistons for two future second round picks. So yes, the Thunder get more picks.
More importantly than that, they were trying to shed salary. So they started that process last week or whatever it was when they traded. Who's the other guy they traded?
Wiggins.
When they traded Wiggins, who's a quality NBA player and will help the Hawks. And Jesus, I mean, is Isaiah Joe going to be the starting small forward on the Pistons?
He got the resume. At this point, you get traded. It's like you get the pay bump to go to the new job, and they tell you, well, we wanted you at manager, but we're going to put you as a senior associate. Like, no, bro, who's your alternative? Especially if they don't get Hero, unless they flip him for Hero, which would be kind of crazy. But if you don't get Hero, if you don't get Jaylen Brown.
Is it possible the Pistons are smart enough that they're not going to go after Tyler Hero? No offense against Tyler Hero, who's a nice player, but, like, do you really want to be paying his? Talk about next contracts. He's due for a new contract.
What's the alternative?
Well, but maybe Jaylen Brown, but again, That Pistons team, look, we all crapped all over the Pistons to the point where you had Sean out here running around saying Cade should be the MVP because the Pistons are so bad and he was lifting them to the heights that he was listening to. What if you inject a little shooting, you know? And I understand Isaiah Joe gives it a little bit back on the other end, which is part of why he fell out of OKC's rotation and why they're sitting here trading him for 2 second-round picks. But, like, I don't know. Maybe the Pistons – I'll be very curious how the Durant thing shakes out. I think that's where it all comes back to. Because what
– Exactly.
I wonder – clearly, he wants a max deal. The Pistons laughed at him. And I wonder what number – Detroit is putting in front of him. But also, he knows that he can get a max somewhere else.
Do you don't think that his playoff performance was damaging enough where people are like, yeah, I'm not trying to pay
him. I think 22-year-old all-star.
It's a max. It's a max. This is where the distinctions matter. The max for Detroit, now that he made all NBA, and it bumps him up to the supermax territory for him.
Oh yeah, the rookie, the Derrick Rose different. Number.
That does not translate to another team signing him to their version of a max. Is I'm not saying that would be great money either, but it's more manageable. Which is why he's asking for a sign.
So I got it now. Y'all just put the pieces together. He asked for a little bit more than the max that he would get in a sign and trade. They said no. He asked for the super max. They probably said no.
Yeah. They laughed at him.
Let's say I'm just making up numbers. Fugazi. So let's say his super max in a sign and trade, the max he could get from another team was 200 mil. Yeah. He probably asked for like 250. Or 225.
I was going to say he probably asked for like 205. He's like, at least make it
a little bit
pay
more,
me
yeah.
more than I could get on the open market. And right. I bet you they're probably like, no, we're not going to give you that.
They just keep running game 7 against Cleveland over and over on the loop.
I think so. He obviously said, because the Derrick Rose rule, you get 30%. You get, I think it's 30%.
It bumps him from 25 to 30%.
They said, fuck out of here. So he's like, all right, give me a little bit more. And they're like, fuck out of here. They'll probably like, here's the tool. It wouldn't surprise me. Detroit's like, yo, here's the 25%. And he's like, no. But now, so of course, he's
all star, made all NBA.
Yeah.
Yo, come on.
He's looking for. And Detroit is probably saying, listen, if this guy didn't get hurt, you wouldn't be all NBA, right? So now, but the interesting thing is he wants to sign and trade because obviously he can get that max deal. But correct me if I'm wrong, don't sign and trade hard cap you at the first apron?
So if you acquire a player in a sign and trade, it hard caps you at the first apron.
Yes. And which team wants to be hard cap at the first apron because they acquired Jalen Duren? Contenders.
It depends on what their financial. I don't want to go too far into the weeds, but it depends on what their financial picture is. Like Boston, didn't they duck the tax last year?
They did.
So they may actually be in a position where they can be hard capped at the first apron and survive it. I'm just saying for the Lakers could probably be hard capped at the first apron. Again, I don't know if they're going to be in the running for and again, this is what makes this is why I love NBA free agency around this time of year, because everything bleeds into everything else. Like, are the Lakers, are they making a play for Mitchell Robinson? Are they, you know, is Jalen Duren for them plan A, plan B, plan C?
If I'm them, I'm going to see what's up with Duren for sure.
The Lakers?
Y'all take dominating and you like it.
Does dominating get more than the minimum this summer? It's a player option. Player option. That was my bad.
We're opting in, guys.
Picking that up, yes.
How much is it for? 8 million?
$8 million.
Yep.
Wow. $8
Somebody a Knicks fan on Twitter said if we lose Mitch, we should consider Jalen Duren. And I wanted to throw him out there. No, excuse me. We should consider DeAndre Ayton, and I wanted to kick him down a flight of stairs.
One other name just that factors into all of this, because he is an unrestricted free agent, is Robert Williams, which, again, injury concerns, but like...
Time Lord?
Time Lord. Yeah. When healthy, Robert Williams is a nice player.
Hashtag asterisk, caveat, subscript, all of that.
Dirty Dancer, that's not nice. This is mean. Hold on.
No, no, no. That's mean. That's mean. That would.
That's got to be off. That's got to be off camera.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
I would flip out. You want to see a crash out? I would crash out. By the way, real quick about Durin. Even if the Lakers put a max offer sheet in front of him, he ain't going to sign it because he wants a super max, which none of these other teams can offer him.
I think he'd sign. If another team offered him their max, I think he would sign that. And you know what? Honestly, and here's the thing, and this is why I think Detroit's in a position where I bet you Detroit's not sweating this at all.
But if he would sign
their team is flawed.
If you would sign a max offer sheet, which is 25% of the cap with another team, the Pistons could just match. Which means, why wouldn't the Pistons just say, go get an offer and we'll just match it? The Pistons don't want to pay him. They don't want to pay him the 25%. Because if they did, I'm telling you, I believe like on July 1st, when he negotiate on like at, no, June 30th, 6:39 p.m., Jalen Duren signed a max offer sheet with the Los Angeles Lakers, and then Detroit will match in an hour. They don't want to give him that money.
So I think Detroit's confident that there is no cap. Now that I'm hearing you say that, I bet you Detroit knows that no one out there is going to give him a max offer sheet.
It screams volumes that at this moment you could make an argument that Mitchell Robinson's prospects, the appetite or the interest in Mitchell Robinson, he has a market. That's what I'm thinking of. The market for Mitchell Robinson might be larger than the market for Jalen Duren.
What would you rather do? Pay Mitchell Robinson $15 million a year for 3 years or pay Jalen Duren $45 million a year for 4 years?
Right. I'd rather the Maserati than the fully loaded Accord.
Who's the Maserati?
We only have a few more minutes because I have to go pick up my daughter from daycare on her last day of school. You want to talk about Giannis real quick?
The almighty fourth seed.
Yes.
Reloaded. The almighty fourth seed.
I think the over-under on Miami Heat playoff seed for next year should be 6.5.
Wow.
Right now, I agree.
Oh. Like, who's shooting?
Well, I was about to say the most interesting man in free agency, maybe not the most interesting, but he's up like Norm Powell. Like, can they rejigger Andrew Wiggins' contract and make it so Wiggins can, like, because Wiggins, I think it's a team option. Do they decline that and they try to sign Wiggins for more years, less dollars, in order to then re-sign Powell to a nice number? That to me is very interesting because they need Norm. If they lose Norm Powell, man, then I'm taking the under on that.
Six and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, what incentive do Wiggins and Powell, for that matter, have to take a team-friendly deal? What is their true incentive?
They're getting, in theory, they'd be getting years out of it. They'd be taking a little bit of a haircut in annual, but they'd be getting more years out of it. And it's like, you know, South Beach, Heat culture, hashtag Heat culture. Toughest working, hardest charging.
I mean, sweat. I've had to hear throughout the course of this offseason about how nobody should be taking team friendly deals and go get your money if you can get it. I don't know if Norm Powell's market is going to be any hotter at this moment than it is in an era where free agency is pretty much hearing the death knell from all in surround sound. I don't know when he's going to get that opportunity. I mean, he could mess around and go back to the Clippers.
Oh, man, I didn't even think about that.
He could mess around and go back to Clippers. Hey, Detroit, you need a shooter, right? Like, there is a market for him.
I respect Norm. I like Norm Powell a lot. I think he's one of those guys that, like, he's a gamer. I think you want him on your squad for a playoff run. I would not, all things being equal, I would not want the Pistons to get him.
Same here.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So there is a market for him, bro. Like, I'm telling you, there's a market. So I'm wondering, unless, like, Miami is in a position where they cannot be choosers. They got to throw the bag at him.
They painted themselves into this corner for Giannis. I get why they did it. We all get why they did it. What else were they going to do? Pat Riley's He's not a young man anymore. Doesn't look like this
anymore. He's 80 years old. You believe that? That's crazy. He looked good for his age. I'll tell you that much. He looked good for his age, but this was definitely his last ride in the big fish hunting.
Listen.
Or big fish fishing.
Big game hunting. Fish,
you, big game hunting. You fish fish.
Listen. Norman Powell is 33 years old. This is his last chance at a payday. He ain't taking no discount. No. Unless they give him, unless Miami gives him a 5-year deal, which is absolutely insane to do.
It would, but listen,
man.
Pat Riley was, don't forget the summer of 2017, was it? Where Pat Riley was giving out, get a 4-year contract. You get a 4-year contract to the likes of Hassan Whiteside and Deion Waiters. And oh my God, what was the backup? Like, not really,
James not
Norvell.
James
Pell,
Johnson?
Norvell.
James Johnson.
James Johnson.
I think there was maybe one more.
There's another guy.
That was a decade ago.
I mean, UD had a lifetime contract too. Let's not get that twisted. Like, UD wasn't going nowhere until he was ready to go.
UD was.
I mean, he was a player coach at one point. Yeah. You know, like
there it is. Thank you, Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson. That was a different offseason, but yes, that was because that was the Nets annual Nets offer sheet that was back. It was Tyler Johnson got the offer sheet, and then Alan Crabb got the offer sheet, and I forget who else got
Alan Crabb. Yes.
You can
tell
me shit about Alan Crabb.
But this goes to beg the question, are these owners and are these GMs in the same giving mood that they were a few years ago, and that second apron is part of the reason why? All them aprons is part of the reason why. I don't know if the appetite is the same.
Jeff, you answered the question before. There's no more on the treadmill. There's no more stasis. You got to make your play. All these teams are making their play. They're not going over an apron. Hello, James. But they're making their play. They're making that. I know. Let's take a question before we get out of here from a Beekstein. There will be super chats on this channel soon. We've finally gotten to the point where we could do that. So coming next season, super chats. Do you think the Nets offer is legit or a leverage play by the Mitchell Robinson camp?
Yes.
Yeah, Jeff. I'm there. I'm there too. I mean, who do we think legitimately is his market? It's anybody with cap space that needs a big. Lakers.
I think what would happen is so it's complicated because the Lakers can operate as a cap space team, or they could operate as a they could depending on several factors operate as an over the cap team. But either way, if the Lakers want to pay Mitchell Robinson like $15 million a year, they could do that. I think they're interested, and I need to go look at Sacramento because don't laugh.
No, Mitch, don't do it.
Do you think Mitchell Robinson is above taking Scott Perry's cow money?
I think Mitchell Robinson bought a big-ass house like 15, 20 minutes from where I'm sitting, and if he'd rather choose between moving and staying put, which is why when he asked about the Brooklyn question, I'm like, yes, like, he will take, like, if the Brooklyn office and Sacramento office is the same, he's staying put. Because he just bought that house like within the last year. Yes, could he get more space in Sacramento? But,
how's the fishing in Sacramento? I'm looking this
up. They are by the bay. He'd probably have to drive out a lot. But
they ain't by any.
That's a drive.
It's 2 hours. It's going to be 2 hours or so before he gets to any.
Yeah. And Long Island Sound is right over there.
They're like an hour and change away from something called Grizzly Island Wildlife Area. What's that? San Paolo Bay National Wildlife Refuge? Does that have good fishing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, I will say, I think this next week is going to be interesting for how teams maneuver and position themselves as opposed to what they're putting out in the media and all the tea leaves that we're reading. Because for the Knicks, for example, you look at their draft, they had multiple opportunities to draft a replacement, and they didn't. Right. They moved those picks around. They did all of that.
That's
so right. The minute I saw like Ugonna, who they ended up trading away in the second round, I said, oh, is Mitch back?
For cash. For cash. Right. Not a pick. Cash.
And you can utilize that cash as part. Does that help to get you under the aprons and all of that? If so, you got cash, or you could use that to like for your front office and all of that.
It doesn't change anything with the apron.
It just goes into your purse. It just goes into James Dolan's purse.
You're asking us to peer into the mind of James Dolan. For all we know, that someone went to James Dolan like, "Hey, we got this $3 million from whoever, and they got money also in night one of the NBA draft too." So they may have picked up. I think the most you could get in a one cycle is like $6 or $7 million in cash.
Oh yeah, they maxed that. They maxed that out.
They may have maxed that out already. For all we know, they might go to James Dolan and be like, okay, now you can go that many dollars above the second apron, even though that's not how it works. Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
By God, is that Nick Richards music?
I really don't. I don't.
I like Nick Richards. I think in a good culture, he could be. He has talent.
Boy,
he lost me a bet like 2 years ago where he like,
you
at
are
a
pumping
like,
that hopium intravenously.
Dog. I've always. Nick Richards is talented. There was a time.
Yes. I think he's going to be back. That's
do you realize?
Team. I don't think so. I think he's gone.
Without looking it up, because I had to look it up, how many players do you think the Sacramento Kings have on their roster that are making over $20 million a year?
Okay.
For next year. Next year.
Okay. LaVine, DeRozan. Who's there's a third guy. I'm forgetting. That's obvious.
Russ?
Russ is
not a one-year deal.
No, yeah.
And it was a minimum.
Oh, that's right. Russ he was on a minimum.
LaVine,
I need a number. Just give me a number.
5.
What's your number, Jeff?
7.
It's 6. Zach LaVine for 49. Domantas Sabonis for 45.5. DeMar DeRozan for 26, although only 10 of that is guaranteed. DeAndre Hunter for 25. Remember him? They went out and got him.
Wow.
Keegan Murray at 24, which actually is fine. And then Malik Monk at $20 million.
The worst team money can buy. Like, don't talk to me about, listen, as annoying as James Dolan has been this last week and a half, don't talk to me about him being the worst owner in sport in the league when that guy.
They're over the first apron.
They're paying luxury tax.
Watch them waive DeRozan. Stretch his $10 million guaranteed so they could make a non-taxpayer mid-level offer to Mitchell Robinson. Watch these motherfuckers.
Who's the player that I heard? Oh, my. Who's the player that I said? Oh, no. Actually, no. It was Acuff. It was like, I was like, of course they want Acuff, and they got him. Of course. Of course. Like, let's just add another scoring guy who needs the ball to score all the time with these.
King's gonna king. Jeff, last word for you.
Buckle up, because I think this free agency period is gonna be full of trades. I don't think we've seen the last one yet, and it is comical to watch the league try to assemble the Avengers against the defending champs.
I love it. Cheryl, last word.
Knicks fans, if you're annoyed by the announcements made by the owner and the moves made by the front office in the draft, one, we won the NBA championship. Two, we are past the point where the draft is hopium. We no longer have to worry about, oh, this young guy blossomed to something, because the Knicks won the NBA championship. I think this front office has earned the benefit of the doubt. No matter if you think James Owens the worst dude in the world, well, guess what? His front office found a way to win the NBA championship under this guy. So give them grace. Give them the benefit of the doubt. If they haven't earned it now, they never, ever will with you. And that means you are miserable.
The front office deserves every benefit of the doubt. And regardless of what happens in the next week, it should not impact anybody's enjoyment this summer. Two last notes. One, if you're watching us on Twitter or you're listening to us on your podcast platform, go over and subscribe on YouTube, the NBA Takedown YouTube channel. And the reason for that is, this leads me to the second note. Pretty soon we are going to become, I guess you'd say, YouTube exclusive. We'll still run the shows on Twitter. So if you want to watch along with us on Twitter, that's fine. We appreciate everybody who goes and watches us over on the YouTube channel. But the audio-only version of the podcast is going to be going away within the next few weeks. So if you're someone that – and we have a lot of people that listen on the audio feed, and we appreciate that. But we're just really leaning into YouTube because we want you to see our beautiful faces. Mostly these guys to my left and my right. And you have to deal with me too. All right. What, Jeff?
Don't sell yourself.
Oh, no, I don't have nothing to say.
Don't sell yourself.
All right. We're going to out of here. We'll be back with more fun and games next week. All right. Everybody enjoy your weekend and peace.